We're going to get right into the Word this morning. We are on week number 3 of our series. If you haven't been with us, we've been talking about what does it mean to be ghosted? Talking about that the Holy Spirit was never meant to be ignored. And again, how many in this place have ever been ghosted? Some of you, I think, are lying. But in those moments, it's that time where, someone reaches out, someone calls you, and you don't respond, and especially if you don't respond right away. The first week, we talked about the words of Jesus, the scandalous words of Jesus, where he said, "It's good that I go." And we unpacked a little bit of why could that be good? Why is it good that Jesus would go, that he would ascend? And who is the Holy Spirit? And we talked about that another helper, and we broke down the Greek of what that would mean. And then last week, we learned a little bit of who is the person of the Holy Spirit. That he doesn't have to be an unknown caller, but instead he can be a trusted contact. That instead of ignoring it when he begins to speak, instead of ignoring him or his speaking or his leading, we can trust what he has to say. So we learn that he was not a force or a power, but instead he is a divine person, that he's fully God within the Trinity. And so we unpacked a little bit about that, but this morning we go on a bit of a journey about what is the Holy Spirit's role, and there's a lot to that. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look in more detail about some of his functions and roles, but today we're going to lean in on one of his most important ones, one that affects all of us. But before I do that, I want to ask you a question. How many in this place have something that you're scared of? Again, like next week after this series, we're talking on lying. Because if we're honest, there are certain things in our lives that we're a little bit more apprehensive or fearful of. We even said this whole series is about the Holy Spirit because many times in Christendom, he is the person in the Trinity that we often have apprehension or distance from because we're a little bit fearful because we cannot fully understand. But in our natural, there's many things that we're scared of. Many are scared of heights. Many are scared, or borderline scared, speaking obviously for a friend, of snakes. I'm not really a fan of snakes. I realized right away in the Bible, I'm like, this is a good book, okay? So in those moments, there's snakes, but one of the most common things that people are fearful of or apprehensive of is something that we all encounter. We encounter it usually every day. It is the dark. Ever notice that you can come into a building, you can come into a place, you can come into an old building, and when the lights are on, you're like, oh, this is beautiful, this is great. But as soon as the lights go off, all of a sudden there is a little bit of apprehension. There's a little bit of wonder. I remember growing up as a young kid, and Dad was pastoring down in Windsor in our church. And there was a long hallway. There would be glass all this way. And then the way the church was functioned, the sanctuary was on this side. And there was a long hallway that went right down to the other end of the church. And then there was doors at that end. The washroom and the fountain were way down there. The foyer was right here. And all along this place were doors. Doorways probably about 14 down each side. And you ever notice that when the lights are on, it looks really great, it looks not scary, it looks like the safest place to be. But as a, 8 or 9 to 10-year-old student, late at night after a youth night where all the lights are down in the place, and they said, oh, I'll be out in a few minutes, and all of a sudden you get thirsty, and you're like, I need to get a drink. And you look down, and all you see is the red glow of the exit sign down there, and you're like, the fountain is there, but it's dark. And as you start to walk down these hallways, instantly your brain starts to run about who's in the doors. Are these doors open? Have you ever been in those moments where your brain and all these moments of fear starts to grip you, and what was so not scary before, now in the dark, starts to grip your heart. So you start to walk slowly, or I did walk slowly down towards the fountain, and then unrational thoughts came, and I'm like, what if somebody's there? And you start to walk a little bit faster, and then what does it turn into? It turns into a full-blown run. And even while I'm having a drink at the fountain, I'm looking in the dark, saying, I can't see you, but something might be there. It's crazy what can hide in the dark, or what our brains can think is hiding in the dark, isn't it? Have you ever noticed, too, when things are turned off, the place where we used to live in Sunridge, we lost power quite often. Good friends of ours are here, and they could attest that in Sunridge, the area, the power goes off. And it's funny that when we had moved into a new home, when the lights were on, I could find everything. But when the lights go off, it was funny how many things I stubbed my toe on. Can anybody else relate? In our lives, I want to look at what the Holy Spirit does. In our lives, many of us, whether we know Jesus or not, are living in the dark. There's areas of our lives that we're still fearful and apprehensive of, and there's areas of our lives that are still hidden in dark places where we can't clearly see, and it seems like the darkness has sort of hidden it down there. There's things even in our own lives that we're like, I don't want anybody else to see, so what I do is I take it and I hide it in the dark. But I want to say this morning, if you're taking notes, the title of our message is this: you're not meant to live in the dark. You and I were not meant to ever live in the dark, but instead we're called to turn the light on. So if you're taking notes, that's the title, Turn the Light On. And we're going to go to John 16, verse 7 to 12, and look at one of the major functions and roles of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and the life of the world as a whole. And this is what it said, reading from chapter 16, verse 7. It is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And this is the function. Verse 8, and when he comes, what is he going to do? He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and this is Jesus speaking, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. So let's go back to verse 8 there. One of the major functions of the Holy Spirit, as we know that he is now a divine person operating within the Trinity, while it's good news for you and for me that Jesus ascended so that we now can have the Holy Spirit walk with us, within us, in those moments, but one of his main functions is to bring light or conviction to the hidden things of our world, the hidden things of our lives. So if you're taking notes, the first truth we want to look at is this: the light reveals what's hiding. Just like we were talking about in those analogies where the lights are off and you can hide things in the dark, one of the Holy Spirit's functions is to shine a light on the dark areas of our world and the dark areas of our lives. And we don't like to admit it, but all of us have some of them. In our world, there's injustice. In our world, there's hurt. In our world, there's sin and there's evil. Wouldn't you agree? The Holy Spirit's job and function and role is to show us and reveal that this is not as it should be or as it shall be. When those things come on and it causes you to go, oh, that's wrong. That's not right. When you see an unhealthy and an unnatural or an unbiblical lean, even in workplaces or different places of our world, or you see injustices, in those moments the Holy Spirit is revealing and shining a light on that situation, saying, this is not as it should be, and this is not as it shall be. And it's not just for the things that are out front, but the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and reveals and convicts and takes the flashlight. If we were to turn all the lights off in this place and put on a flashlight, it's that light that comes in and searches around and says, there it is. Even in the place that you think you have hidden it the best. Even if, like one of the youth games that Andrew would have run, and he's like, it's hiding there. It's those moments of saying, I found you. I found it. That's the Holy Spirit's job and function. He shines a light in the dark places in our lives, revealing and convicting us of our sin, displaying our need for a Savior, and leading us to repentance. There's a lot in that statement. So he shines a light into the dark places in our lives. I won't make you look at your neighbor and say this, but every single one of us have it. All of us have some things that are not yet there. We know that Romans remind us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you were born in this church and you're rolling the counters have rolled 80 plus times. There is still a journey that we are on. There's still some junk in our trunk. There's still some things that he wants to reveal that he's working and transforming inside of us for his glory so that we would look more like the Son. So how does that come to be? As he reveals, he convicts. He starts to show us that area, and he begins to speak to our heart, soften our heart, that we say, I just don't want that. It's wrong. And in that moment, though, we're left with the choice. We realize that we're not good enough in our own strength, that we can't be enough, that we can't be righteous. And it's one of the lies of the world that we live in our culture and our society today is that we can be good enough in our actions, that we can be enough in just who we are. But the truth is every single person who has ever taken a breath needs Jesus Christ. We are not righteous in ourselves. We cannot be made right in our actions. Yours and I's actions are never going to be enough. And Holy Spirit reminds us of this. He shows us the dark areas of our lives, the hidden sin in our lives, the area that we know we need to deal with. And he reveals to us that we are not enough, we are not righteous, and we have sin. He convicts and he shows, and then he says, you need to change. He leaves us with the choice. He shows us the problem, and then he says, with that problem, you need to do something. It's kind of like a car. We were talking with somebody just this week. I remember I had a car, and it was an old Escort, small little, you know, four-banger Escort. Wasn't the toughest car in the world, but it was my first car. Had subs in the back, and that could make noise. But it was interesting. As I was driving along, I felt really good, and I could ignore a lot of things. And I realized one time on the way back to camp, I was driving there and a rock had come up and it caught a part of my exhaust and there was just a pinhole. And as I was driving, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, there's something wrong, but my car sounds tougher now. Because it was just a small little pinhole. So at first it's like, I didn't have to do any little modifications. I got my own growl. And as I was driving along, and it was interesting that I knew there was a problem. It had been revealed to me that there was a problem. But I was okay with that problem. I didn't have money, and my car still worked, and I thought, you know, this is okay. So I kept driving until that got a little bit larger, and then finally, my friend who lived on the main street of our town, he could tell when I was going home every time. Because it sounded like it was a big old truck coming, but it was my little four-cylinder Escort hatchback. Because a small little problem grew to a big problem when I chose not to do anything about it. But how many of us has Holy Spirit been revealing and shining a light on the hidden places of our lives and the sin that he wants us to deal with? And he's calling us to look to Jesus because you and I cannot be self-righteous enough. We need Christ's righteousness. It's in him that we become right. But in order to do that, we have to do a word that most of us don't like, especially if you've been around church and you know what it means, and that is repent. That's repentance. So the Holy Spirit reveals the sin in our lives. He points us to a need for Jesus, and then he says we need to turn and repent from that sin and get away from it. We can't entertain it. We now see it in the light. We can't keep living in the junk that was there. But how many know that sometimes it's hard? Sometimes it's hard because you're like, I kind of like it. That's why it's hidden there. So one of the Holy Spirit's main functions is to reveal it. He reveals that we can't be right or good enough in and of ourselves. We need Jesus. Instead of being self-righteous, we need to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. David, King David, one who was after God's own heart, he wrote this psalm. And it's a psalm that I believe we need to pray daily. And it's a psalm that we need the Holy Spirit to shine a light, and it's inviting Him to show those things. And I think each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest in this place, can use this. Even today, if you're like, I don't know Jesus, I think we can still use this, because I think if we're honest with ourselves, we see that our world is not as it should be. And the only way that it will get to be how it should be and shall be is through His leading and through Jesus. But this is the prayer, this is a psalm that was read, and I think should be our daily prayer. It says from Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Holy Spirit reveals. He knows your anxious thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows all the hidden things. So stop hiding it. Instead, say, here it is. I reveal it to you. And then as it's revealed, do something with it. But how many know, and many of our students have just passed through the season of exams, and most of them are saying, amen. You know, even though it means another semester, they're like, amen, I'm through the exams. But if a teacher only presents the problem, are they a really good teacher? A teacher that presents the problem but then also points us and directs us to a solution, that's a good teacher. And we know that, as we're going to unpack over the coming weeks, that the Holy Spirit is a guide, a counselor, an advocate. Reveals not only sin, but reveals the solution. And so the second truth that we see today of what the Holy Spirit does is He not only shines a light on the hidden areas, not only shines a light on the problem, but He shines a light on the solution. The light reveals who to follow. It's really hard to follow someone in the dark, isn't it? That's usually when you bump into things. In those moments, like I said, when we moved into a new home, even in our home there, but where we were in Sunridge, there wasn't a lot of streetlights. So when it got dark. Ever notice you knew where all the coffee tables were until it was dark? Until you learned that path? And I remember we had some people over the one time when the power went off and it was dark as dark could be. And I said, you know, follow me. That's exactly, you understood where it was going. It was better to follow Jen. But in those moments, they're following along. The light shows who we should follow, and the light shows us a path of where we can follow. It's a lot easier to go on the right path. It's a lot easier to follow the one when we can see them. And the Holy Spirit, His main function and role is to point people or shine the light on Jesus Christ. So when it comes to our lives, when it comes to the working of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to even manifestations of the Holy Spirit, everything that the Holy Spirit does should point people to who? Jesus. If someone says, well, that's the Holy Spirit, and is pointing people away from Jesus, we have to say, no, I don't think I should follow you. Because the Holy Spirit reveals truth, reveals the problems of our lives, reveals who we need to change. He sees all the hidden things of our lives, and then He shines a light on Jesus and says, this is your solution. You can't be righteous in yourself. You can't be good enough in yourself, but let me show you the one who is. Let me show you the one who you need to follow. Let me show you the one who can make you right and right with the Father, and it only comes through the Son. We have to always have that in alignment. As great as the Holy Spirit is and His gifts, as great as all that He does in His power and moves and might and power, and as we unpack this over the coming weeks, we're going to lean into that because that is a part of who He is and what He does. But we first have to always remember that as He's revealing sin, He's providing us the solution in Jesus Christ. That is the goal. I want to look at what Paul said because I think he said it so well. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 to 18, gives us this picture. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. So look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's freedom. Look to your other neighbor and says, where the Spirit of the Lord is. It's not just a song we sing. because the Holy Spirit convicts us not to shame us, but he convicts us to bring healing, restoration, and wholeness. He convicts us to heal us, but he knows that the only way that that can happen is through Jesus the Son. And so verse 18 says this, so all of us who have had that veil removed, no longer in the darkness, no longer blind to it, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him, Jesus, as we are changed into his glorious image. So the Holy Spirit allows us to see. Holy Spirit sees the problem, gives us the strength to walk into the solution, to bring wholeness, to bring freedom and liberty, to come against all that is wrong in those moments. But he's doing that by taking off the blinders, by taking off the veil, so that we can better see and better reveal who Jesus is. And he says that the more you and I know who Jesus is, the more that we behold him, the more that we will desire and the more that we will become like him. Even inside of not just Christendom, we see one of the famous statements of Blake. He said this, we become what we behold. What you fix your eyes on, the one that you fix your gaze and your attention to, is what you will become like. So if the Holy Spirit is shining a light upon the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Messiah, our everything, as he shines a light upon him and we're able to behold him not as if it's veiled, we start to see his goodness, that he's abounding in love, overflowing in mercy and grace. And in because of that, we say, I want to be more like Jesus. I don't know about you, but if we want to say that we're followers of Jesus, we need to know who we're following. And the more that we see him, the more we want to become like him. That should be the heart cry of every follower of Jesus, is I want to be just like him. My life verse and my favorite verse in the Bible that Paul wrote in Ephesians is Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of Christ. Walk in love and walk and display everything that he displayed. That is our calling card. But how do we know who he is? The Holy Spirit revealing, showing us, drawing us close. And then it comes to a word that sometimes outside of church we don't use because it's not a common word. It's the word of sanctification. That when we ask Christ into our lives, we are justified. We're made right. We're made holy. We are accepted. But then we see in the word sanctification, it's the ongoing process or the progressive process of being made holy or becoming holy. In regular plain person English, it's this. Every day, if we will walk with the Holy Spirit, he is revealing, reshaping, and making us more day by day into the image of the Son. That in our lives, we would look more like Jesus in everything that we do. How many have ever noticed that if you're walking closer with Jesus, it changes how we talk, how we think, and how we act? That's the act of sanctification. In the Coles notes of it. It's not in self-effort. Yes, we play a part. You got to choose to repent. You got to choose to turn. You got to choose to obey. You got to choose to respond, to look at the light of where it shines, to deal with it, to say, I want more of what you have for me, God, to fix our eyes upon Christ. But in that journey, you and I can't earn it. We can't grow more like Christ in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. That's why we can't ignore or ghost the person of the Holy Spirit, because you and I cannot be his witnesses, as was our commission of what Jesus said to the disciples. Wait. Wait for who? Wait for the promise who's coming. Well, what's he going to be like? I'm not going to tell you. But what do I need to wait for? You need to wait because in order to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, you need the Holy Spirit. And if the disciples who knew Jesus the best and the closest needed the Holy Spirit, guess what, church? So do we. We can't do the life that he's called us to. We can't grow more and more daily to be like Jesus without the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we cannot ghost when he speaks to us. As he reveals sin, we've got to deal with it. How do we deal with it? By looking to the cross and looking to Jesus. When we start to get that in picture, we start to see transformation comes. Because the Holy Spirit works in us and through us, transforming us so that we now can begin to behold Jesus and be a little bit more like him every day. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good news. How many of us, if we looked back and thought about the cross and our journey to the cross, can say, thank you, Jesus, for the cross? Because who we were before the cross, oh, looks different than who we are after. And it should be growing this way. That happens because of what he did, but it happens because of the good news that he said, that it's good that I go, because the Holy Spirit is with you, guiding you, leading you, revealing, convicting, not to shame, but to bring wholeness, so that every day we would grow to be a little bit more like Jesus in everything we do. But before we end, look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's even better news. Did they say the other neighbor? Say, neighbor, you don't have to fear. Because light calms our fears and our doubts. Like we said in that analogy, in that picture at the very beginning, as I said about that long hallway, it was so funny. I remember being down there. There's one time where I remember clear as day, and I'm having a drink from the fountain, and all I'm dreading right now is I have to run the gauntlet all the way back. You know, irrational fear, but I was like 8 years old, okay? So you're drinking here, and you're looking all around because it's dark. Dad came out of his office, and he did something that I probably should have done way before. Turn the light on. Instantly, I'm like, oh, that's no problem. I've been here many times. In our lives, many of us walk with fear and with doubt of, is his love enough? Am I saved? Is he going to be with me? Do I have a future? Do I have a place of belonging? Am I really adopted? Am I all those things? In these moments, have you ever thought with these doubts? Just ask these ones. Whether you're good enough, feeling like you're failing as a Christian, maybe wondering if you'd actually go to heaven if you died today. Nobody's going to raise their hands, but have you ever thought these things? See, there we go. Did you know something about the Holy Spirit? Not only does he reveal our sin and convicts us of our sin, not only does he point us to Jesus, but he actually is a seal, a guarantee, and a witness to your life, to my life, that we are God's. It says that he's placed upon our lives. He is the seal. He is with you. That him being with you gives us courage. The Holy Spirit is your seal, your guarantee, and your witness, driving away fear and reminding you and me that you are God's. Ephesians 1:13 says this, and now you Gentiles have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. He put his seal on you by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. Continues on in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22, and he has identified you as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised. The Holy Spirit with you, the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, convicting, pointing to Jesus is God's guarantee and seal upon your life, a reminder that he's not finished with you. That you have been adopted, that you are approved, that you've been purposed, then you've been purposed, and you've been actually purchased. You are guaranteed with a good future. All of those things that we read about, because the Holy Spirit is with you, in those moments of doubt, in those moments of fear, we can be reminded that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within you and is going with you. We don't have to be people of fear, but we can be people of a sound mind. These are all scriptures we read, but this is the theology behind it. That's why we can't say, I'm scared of the Holy Spirit. Because he's the seal that is marking you and saying, oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. You're a part of the family. So what are some things, just very quickly, that the God seal means upon our lives? It means that we're approved. We are given the right to become God's children, John 1, verse 12. It also reminds us that we're adopted. The Spirit confirms that we belong to the Father. You've got the mark or the seal in biblical day, the ring or the seal of the family, like we talked about with the prodigal son and the prodigal father. It was like the credit card. Your name was on it. When that seal was placed upon you or upon your clothes, it's saying, no, you're from this house. Don't mess with them. God's seal is upon your life. On your worst day, as you're walking through what seems like hell, you've got the seal of God upon your life. You are family. I don't know about you, but on some of those days, I need to be reminded that I am adopted, that God chose me. I didn't even choose him. That's the truth, that he chose us first. Then we move on, that you are purchased. We see that you are bought with a high price, and you belong to God. Not in a negative way, but when someone comes in and tries to steal your stuff, do you get upset? If someone walked in and all of a sudden got in your car and decided to drive it away, would you be like, oh, that's good, just take it? Maybe, I haven't seen your car, okay? But in those moments, no. We say, no, that's my car, what are you doing? If we would respond that way to something that is in the physical, in the natural, if he's purchased your life with a great price, if he's adopted you, you say, no, that's mine. They're mine. They're my family. They're on my team. When the enemy comes and he tries to steal you away, when he comes and he tries to bring you down, we can know because of the Holy Spirit in us, and we can be reminded of who we are, that we were purchased with a great price, that we belong to God. Continues on, that we're protected. We live under God's care and his watch, as you see the scriptures behind. That yours and I, our future is secure. Understand, we need to live it out. But you don't have to doubt if he wins. Jesus is and will always be victorious. Your inheritance, your future, your victory is assured in who he is. There is no doubt. When he said it is finished, he won the battle. The choice is, will we respond to what he's already done? And then when you're like, I don't have a good future. Pastor, you don't know what I'm walking through. You don't know the journey. Today you can be guaranteed that you have a future, that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what diagnosis is upon your life, you have an eternal future. Your future is guaranteed. Whatever you're going through right now is not the end of your story, because God is not finished with you yet. His Spirit dwells within you, and it is the seal and the guarantee and the witness upon your life. When every lie comes from the enemy, from someone else, saying you're not enough, you do not belong, you don't have a future, we can be reminded of the Spirit as he speaks and he wells up within us saying, no, this is my kid. It seals upon his life. His future is guaranteed, and he is the witness that speaks to every lie. He convicts of the sin. He points us to Jesus, and he becomes that witness within side of us to say that he is not done with me yet. I don't know about you, but that changes me. It gives me a hope. It gives me a future. It excites me. You might say, Pastor, why are you excited? Because, oh, I know what my story was before the cross. Oh, and I know he's not done with me yet. This morning, that's the truth that we can live in. He's shining lights right here in this place. Sometimes the light shining on us is uncomfortable. And even in this place, as we've been talking, maybe some of you are saying, man, it's uncomfortable today. Because as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit was convicting. He's moving in all of us. He's showing areas that are hidden there. Because our faith journey doesn't just stop in a moment. It's moving closer to be like him. So today, what I want to challenge us to do is just to take a second. instead of ignoring them, instead of ghosting the Spirit, today say, Spirit, search my heart. Search my thoughts. Reveal in me anything that needs to change. Judgment, bad attitude, offense. Reveal it to me. And then church, let's today say, I don't want it anymore. I lay that down. I lay it at the foot of the cross, and I'm turning. I'm repenting and going away from it. Maybe there's some in this place that you've never made the decision to follow Jesus. But today, Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. He's pointing that light upon Jesus' face, upon your need, but then upon the solution. In this place, if he's doing that, respond. That you would call out today and say, Jesus, I need you. I can't be right and I can't be righteous in my own strength. I need you. I need what you did on the cross. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be Lord and Savior. Transform my heart and transform my ways so that they would represent you. And if we would pray that and we would believe that and we would call on his name, there is a great truth. You today do not have to live in fear. You don't have to live in doubt, but instead you can live in victory. Amen, church? Today, if you've been carrying a weight, why not give it to him? His seal is on your life. His guarantee is on your life. Approved, adopted, secure, chosen, guaranteed future. I don't know about you, but that is good news. That's not someone I want to ignore, but someone I want to get close to. So church, if you would, let's stand together and let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you shine lights into our lives. As we've said and talked about, begin to do that in our lives today, here and online. Show us areas that need to be changed and transformed. Begin to work your sanctifying act in us so that we become more like Jesus in how we live and how we love. Today, Jesus, let us know you more. Let us behold you, and as we behold you, let us through the power of your Spirit become more and more like you. And Lord, today, help us by your power of your Spirit to be reminded of who we are. Not who we are in ourselves, but who we are in you. Reminded that we are approved, adopted, secure, purchased, that we are protected. Oh, then we have a future. Be our seal, be our guarantee, be our witness that as we leave here today, we would walk in boldness and courage as your witnesses, that we would tell people of the goodness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with us as we go. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen. Love you, church. We'll see you next.